Will the members please show their attendance by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Will clerk please take the roll?
Thirty present, 10 absent.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, no one is excused from the call today. Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
I've got a couple of amended excuses from the call of the House. Move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Guy be excused from the call of the House April 24th.
There's no objection. Representative Guy will be excused on April 24th.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Carney be excused from the call of the House through Sunday, April 22nd.
There's no objection. Representative Carney will be excused on those dates. The prayer today is by Pastor Robert McNabb of the Douglas Methodist Church. Will the members please rise for the prayer? Will the chief clerk please certify as to correctness of the previous day's journal?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal with the following correction. On page 951, the referral on committee substitute for Senate Bill 115 rules should be to the Finance Committee. With this correction, I certify to the correctness of the journal for the 92nd day and for House Joint Supplement number 42, House Journal Supplement number 42.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 92nd day as corrected and journal supplement number 42 be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
There's no objection. The journal and journal supplement will stand approved. Are there guests for introduction? Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, would you ask that the record reflect my presence? Thank you.
Record, please show that Representative Barnes and Cotton are present. Representative Randall.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce a constituent of mine and other legislators from Fairbanks, Mr. George Gordon, who's president of College Utilities, Fairbanks.
Are there further guests for introduction to the House? Messages from the Governor.
Dear Mr. Speaker, I read the following and I'm transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution number 20 amended, relating to the financial and Alaska impact plan submitted by the Alaska Gas Pipeline Financing Authority, Legislative Resolve number 13. Senate Bill number 28 amended, relating to criminal mischief and providing for an effective date, Chapter 18, SLA 1979. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate has failed to recede from its amendment to committee substitute for House Bill number 91 amended, making supplemental appropriation to Department of Law with an effective date, namely Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill number 91 with a new title. The President has appointed the following members to a free conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House to consider the above bills. Senator Sackett, Chairman, Senator Ray, Senator Tillian. The Speaker has passed the following and they are transmitted for consideration. Senate Concurrent Resolution number 6 amended by Bradley and Stimson, directing the Legislative Council to study and hold hearings on the availability of automobile insurance in the state.
Commerce.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 12 amended by the Rules Committee, an act relating to an adventure-based education program.
Finance.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on State Affairs has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 22 rules amended, extending the benefits of group insurance to certain temporary employees of the state and its governmental units under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 22 and reports the bill back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, signing Dupass, Miller, Fuller, and Parker. Having no recommendation, Eliason. Signing Do Not Pass, Metcalf, and Martin. Committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 22, Rules Amended, has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Commerce has had Senate Bill 244, continuing the existence of the Board of Pharmacy, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 244 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Brown, Malone, Osterbach, Halford, and Munson. Having no recommendation, Randolph and Bettisworth. Senate Bill 244 has a further referral to Finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
The conference committees, which has had House Bill 377, making fiscal year 79 transfer of appropriation items for Department of Labor effective date, and Senate committee substitute for House Bill 377, making transfers of appropriation items for the Department of Labor for the fiscal year ending June 30, 1979, with an effective date, under consideration, recommends that the original bill, House Bill 377, be adopted. The report was signed by the Free Conference Committee Senate members, Senator Holman, Chairman, Fahrenkamp, and Dankworth. The Conference Committee House members, Representative Smith, Chairman, McKinnon, and Montgomery. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation in memoriam, James Douglas, J.D. Fulp, by Representative Jaroff and Senator Mulcahy. House Concurrent Resolution No. 24 by the Rules Committee by request of the Administrative Regulation Review Committee, annulling certain administrative regulations adopted by the Department of Resources pertaining to land classification.
Resources.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 462 by the Labor and Management Committee, an act relating to employment agencies.
Labor and Management.
House Bill 463 by Parr and McKinnon, an act relating to savings and loan associations.
Judiciary.
House Bill 464 by Anderson, Barnes, Cotton, Freeman, Halford, Haugen, Hayes, McKinnon, Martin, Osterbach, Rogers, Schaefer, Jaroff, and Gardner. An act relating to indexing of the state income tax and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
House Bill 465 by the Commerce Committee. An act continuing the existence of the Board of Pharmacy and amending the laws regulating the practice of pharmacy and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
House Bill 466 by Malone, an act relating to the rate of prejudgment interest.
Judiciary.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
May we be at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease.
Will the House please come to order? We're down to the consideration of the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on the calendar?
House Concurrent Resolution No. 12 by Carney, Barnes, Byrne, Bettisworth, Buchholz, Chatterton, Cotton, Halford, Hayes, McKinnon, Malone, Martin, Meekins, Metcalf, Miles, Montgomery, Munson, O'Connell, Parr, Phillips, and Randolph. Requesting the Governor to give consideration to contract negotiations between the state and the Matanuska-Susitna Borough relating to the relocation of the Capitol. The Committee on State Affairs is at House Concurrent Resolution No. 12. Under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution No. 12 and recommends it do not pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Fuller, Gardner, and Eliason. Martin signed be positive, do pass. Metcalf signed do pass. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Before I recognize anyone, I'd like to at this point for the record note that I'll be voting in the Speaker's position and the Speaker will be voting in mine. Mr. Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that the State Affairs Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution No. 12 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Objection is noted. Mr. Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, the reason I wanted to debate the resolution was that the only amendment that was made to the original resolution that is of anything other than technical was an amendment that I'd offered in the State Affairs Committee. So I wanted to explain that amendment to those people who might want to understand and might have some concern about. As you might have noticed from the report, I voted do not pass on this resolution, and I intend to vote on it. I don't think that this idea will work, and I was pretty much convinced of that during the testimony that I don't believe that the Matanuskas who sit in a borough can build a capital for no money. It will take some state money somewhere at some time in some form. And that's my concern. In the resolution, in the whereas clauses, it states several things. One, that it cites the fact that there have been capital move and Franken initiatives that have been passed, and it's obvious that anything that the governor or the legislature might have to do will have to be in compliance with those statutes that were passed in initiative and subsequent statutes passed implementing those statutes by the legislature. And also on line 22, it does state the concept that the proposal is that this capital city be built by the borough at no expense to the state. And I want that clear that there cannot be any money spent. And the amendment that was added that is now on line 29 and down through the end of the bill merely states those principles that those persons who testified in favor of this resolution said was the fact. And one, that the Matanuskas who sit in a borough has the legal powers to do this. There was some question about that, I think, before the governor entered into any negotiations about building a capital city, that it should be determined first whether the borough has these legal powers. Otherwise, the borough and the state and the voters and a whole lot of people could find themselves in a mess, as well, including contractors. The other question is whether the Matanuskas who sit in a borough has the financial ability to do this. The Matanuskas who sit in a borough claimed they did. I think there was some question raised about whether they were doing that and whether they'd actually be spending state money. This proposes that the governor make a finding that they do have the financial ability, and if they do, then I think they'll be able to prove that, and this would allow them an opportunity to prove that. The other condition is merely that no state funds will be expended, and I think that this is an obvious fact that was stated in the Frank Initiative that was passed by the voters that we're all in agreement with, and it does state that previously in the resolution. So this merely states that the governor must make a finding that this proposed plan will not use state funds. And I think it's only legitimate that the governor, who is, it's proposed in this resolution to represent the people of Alaska in this negotiations to build a new capital, that he make these findings. These were things that people who testified in favor of the resolution said were the fact. And I think this only says that these things must be proven up before the governor can enter in negotiations.
Mr. Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Gardner points out that the two items that he was successful in getting in as amendments in the State Affairs Committee are sort of reiterations of earlier statements in the resolution, and that's probably true. Certainly before anything like this could happen, the borough would have to be determined that the borough had the legal authority to do it, and that certainly the existing law that's on the book, the Frank Initiative, requires that no state funds be expended until certain things are accomplished. So on the surface, they're not unreasonable amendments, and probably in spirit I wouldn't object to them, except for I have a question. Beginning on line 28, it reads, the amended language reads, if it is found that one, and number two, the two conditions I just noted. Well, my question is, who has to find that before the governor enters into negotiations? I have a sneaking suspicion it's our attorney general. And so far, Mr. Gross has been probably at least honest with me, and he's answered all my questions, but he certainly, and no one in the administration, have taken a positive attitude about this. I don't think that the governor feels there's any requirement or responsibility on him or on his office or on any of his commissioners or on his attorney general to move forth with this. In fact, recently we were discussing the Capital Site Planning Commission, and we noted to him that it was still actually officially still alive, and there were some vacancies on there, and we wondered if he was going to make some reappointments. And his response was, well, no, not unless the legislature passed a resolution or at least funded the commission, it wouldn't be worth it. So he's not going to do anything until the legislature pushes him. So it appears to me that what would happen in this, if we adopted a committee substitute, is that the governor would go to his attorney general and say, go make some findings for me before I can ever enter into negotiations. And after saying that, he'd know full and well, and we all would, that nothing would ever happen beyond that. This resolution asks the governor to consider these contract negotiations at the earliest possible time. I don't think it's a high-handed request. In fact, Representative Carney and I went to the governor's office and sat down with the governor and the attorney general, and we suggested that he do this without a resolution, that he just go ahead and enter into some serious discussions with the people from the Mat-Su Borough. And, well, he wasn't interested in doing that unless he had some direction from the legislature. So this was we drafted a very simple resolution. We stated the three operative laws that are now in effect. We suggest that the Mat-Su Borough's plan might be a pretty good way to go and satisfy the requirements of the existing laws, and that the governor should consider these contract negotiations at the earliest possible time. But if we accept the committee substitute, I think we're also accepting some additional roadblocks that will happen without question, in my mind. And I don't think they're necessary. I think that they are redundant in what they say, but they're worded in such a way that I think they would result in a roadblock to the negotiations.
Mr. Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, it has been indicated from the following these amendments to this bill, which was amended in my State Affairs Committee, that this amendment would further require that the state only negotiate a city of 30,000. The state's already voted on that. They don't want a city of 30,000. They voted on two things. They don't want to build a city of 30,000, and they don't want to. But they do want to move the capital, and both of those things have been indicated by the voters. And this amendment clouds the issue. It brings it back to the unworkable pattern that has been the past track record of this legislature in putting out legislation that is unworkable and therefore never results a move. If there the concern that's expressed with reference to the borough's ability to finance the construction should be of no concern to this body. If they cannot finance it, they will not be able to sell municipal bonds to finance it. No banker will loan to somebody who can't. So those two concerns about this legislation, first of all, being that we don't want to go back to a city of 30-some thousand, and second of all, if there are any legal complications, any inability to finance, they simply won't be able to sell the bonds. That should be the determining factor, and the state shouldn't have to concern themselves about it.
Mr. Gardner?
Mr. Speaker, in answer to Representative Cotton's question, it was the intent of my amendment to require the governor to make the findings, and if that's not clear, I'd certainly be in favor of amending this so it is clear that the governor is supposed to make the findings. I had no intention of leaving it up to the Attorney General, and Representative Cotton is worried that the governor's going to try to shift the burden to somebody else. Then I wouldn't have any objection to it. On line 26, it does say the governor, and it might be necessary to, on line 28, amend the language to say that if the governor finds, and then on with the language, and I certainly would concur with that if that was the only concern here. I think the basic issue you'd have to look at is that there was testimony from people, and in the questioning that the committee pursued over this proposed idea with the Matsu Borough, there was a lot of holes in the plan. And the answer was, well, we'll negotiate those holes. You might be right. This hole might exist. Maybe we will be using state land, and that is the same as spending state money. Or maybe we don't have the power now, but we'll get the power later. Or, you know, we think we can sell these plans, but it's predicated on building this size of building for this amount of money or getting school funds or something like this. And I think all this does is say that if some members of this House want the governor to enter into a negotiation for something that is going to cost somebody a lot of money, maybe in the billions of dollars, we don't know where this would end up, that at least before he does this, he ought to find out that the people that he's trying to negotiate a deal with are financially able and legally able to consummate the deal, and that furthermore that we are in compliance with the state law. I think that if the governor doesn't do this, somebody's going to raise the question a little bit later, and then you're going to be tangled in a mess. The governor tries to negotiate a deal with anybody to build a capital city, and it's in violation of the Capital Move Initiative or the Frank Initiative or any other state statute, it's going to end up in a lawsuit. So before we spend a lot of money and effort doing this, we ought to make those determinations first. And that's all this is saying, is that the governor should make these findings first. And again, I would just say that if Representative Cotton feels that there should be some clarification here, that it's the governor that makes these findings, I would support that.
Mr. Cotton?
Mr. Speaker, my point was that this is a determination that would have to be made before serious discussions or serious negotiations could take place. Whether it's the governor or whoever it is, that the governor is going to assign that to his chief legal counsel, which is the Attorney General. That's where it's going to get hung up. It's an unnecessary roadblock that would be required to take place before any serious negotiations could take place. And in regard to the lawsuit, no matter what happens, there's going to be a lawsuit.
Will the House please be at ease? The House, please come back to order. Is there further debate?
Question.
Mr. Speaker.
Ms. Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to call the House before the vote, please.
Their call has been placed on the House. Do we have any members? Representative Branson is missing. Mr. Gardner?
Mr. Speaker, Representative Branson is in the Buttrovich room. Maybe one of the pages could get him.
Representative Randolph is. Would the House please be at ease until the members that are. Would the House please come back to order? I believe all members are present. Mr. Metcalf, you have the floor.
Mr. Speaker, in defense of the State Affairs Committee substitute, it's been suggested that we must first weigh the financial ability of the Matsu Borough to deliver. Well, the problem there is we don't know until we've negotiated with the Matsu Borough what they're going to deliver, what they need to deliver, and how much financial ability they need. In the process of developing whatever they might want to deliver to the state of Alaska in turn for land that they would receive, further, as they continue down the road in this effort, it's most probable that they're going to bring on partners. private industry who would assist them in this development. The collective financial statements of that private industry would further enable them to bond and finance. And these things cannot be determined until such time that the state has sat down and discussed the matter with the borough for the purpose of determining what they're going to build and therefore know how much money would be required on behalf of the borough. So I do not support the State Affairs Committee substitute. I support the original bill.
Mr. Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I think that one of the points that Mr. Metcalf brought up here is one of the reasons I wanted in this amendment about the fact that no state funds will be expended, that I want the governor to figure that out first. There was two plans presented to the committee so that, I mean, we had to have some justification for even looking at this concept of giving the right to negotiate to the Mat-Su Borough and the governor over building a capital city. And so, of course, they presented us a plan. And there was two plans presented. One of them involved up to 64,000 acres of state land. And that's worth a lot of money. And it was state lands, and it was very unclear as to whether whether the state was going to get the money out of this land or that that would just kind of be spent, in effect. And if the state is going to utilize 64,000 acres, that's going to end up either in borough hands or private individuals' hands to build the capital, then I think that's an expenditure of money. And in fact, it's at 3,000 or 4,000 acres, which is what we were told from the Mayor Larson that land is selling up there. That's a conservative price. That's a one heck of a lot of money, maybe in the range of $250 million. And I think we should find out whether we're going to be spending that money before we even try to draw up such a plan.
Mr. Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's not my intention to get up here and discuss the terms and conditions that the borough has offered to the governor, nor is it my intention to get up here and try to convince anyone that the capital should move or that any one method should be used to determine how it moves. I think that the original resolution was very clear, very precise, and addressed the question at hand, that was whether or not it was the intention of the legislature that the governor enter into negotiations with the borough. What are involved in those negotiations are not something that we need to address at this time. I think most of us have discussed at great length the merits or the demerits of all kinds of moves, and I think that we're simply wasting our time with debate, except for those who feel the need to express themselves. I think that we should have the question. Thank you.
Question has been called for. The question before the body is, shall the body adopt a committee substitute for House concurrent resolution number 12? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? The clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 24 Nays.
The committee substitute, excuse me, could you repeat that again, please?
16 Yeas, 24 Nays.
The committee substitute has not been adopted. House concurrent resolution number 12 is before you. Mr. Randolph.
I just want to make a couple of remarks. You know, I think this whole issue, and I'm going to vote for the bill, just kind of as a lesser of two evils we find ourselves doing a lot of times around here. But, you know, this is just another example of government having created a very large problem. We've created a very large, massive bureaucracy, which is a very substantial economic value to the locality in which it happens to exist. And it's just kind of a matter of who's plundering whom for whom's benefit. If we didn't have any more government than us libertarians would like to have, it wouldn't make any difference where the capital was.
Question has been called for. The question before the House is, Mr. Brown?
I think that's the telephone booth capital move suggestion.
The question before the House is, shall House concurrent resolution number 12 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 16 Nays.
So House concurrent resolution number 12 has passed the House. Mr. Miller? Reconsideration is noted by Mr. Miller on House concurrent resolution number 12.
Mr. Speaker, could we stand at ease?
Would the House please stand at ease?
House, please come back to order. That completes the daily calendar for today. Brings us to unfinished business. Under unfinished business, I'd like to add a Hess Committee referral to Senate Bill 12. Representative Guy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we revert to introductions?
Under introduction of guests, Representative Guy.
Thank you. This afternoon, it is a pleasure to be introducing some friends in Gallery A. Would the members withhold their applause until I call their names, and those persons' name I call stand up one at a time? I would appreciate it. Mary Finstead, Gail Naughty, Clint Finstead, Pope Wells, and Fred Naughty. Mr. Speaker, I might add that Fred and I have a mutual friend in the name of Dr. Byrne.
There are further guests for introduction. Under unfinished business, are there any items of unfinished business to come before the House? Special orders. Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a Democratic caucus 15 minutes after adjournment.
Representative Meekins.
Speaker.
Representative Park.
Mr. Speaker, the Judiciary Committee meeting is canceled today because of the caucus. I'd like to give the members advance notice that the bills due for yesterday and today will be on at 7 o'clock tomorrow night.
Representative Brown.
Ouch. Well, I guess I won't be at the Judiciary Committee, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker, the House Commerce Committee will attempt to meet tomorrow at 8 unless there's been a continuance of a caucus scheduled to conflict on House Bill 403, Survey and Improvement of State Land, and continuing our deliberations on Senate Bill 61, Senate Bill 204 that relate variously to the power of the Alaska Public Utilities Commission and certain exemptions. And tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, we had intended, and I hope we will still be meeting, to consider Senate Bill 234 again on mechanics and materialmen's liens.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Resources today at 3 o'clock. We'll be taking up three bills, Senate Concurrent Resolution 14, Senate Bill 63, Senate Joint Resolution 6. The last two of those are in the Susitna Project. Resources will also meet tonight at 7 o'clock on lands legislation and on Senate Bill 14 relating to agriculture.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, the previously
recorded legislation will not be up for state affairs today because we won't be meeting, but we will meet at 5 o'clock, continue to have a session at 5 o'clock on the EGSOC legislation. That's assuming that we're out of caucus by that time. Speaker, could we very briefly, please?
House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. We're under announcements of committee meetings, so there are further committee announcements. Representative Buchholz.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. If the caucus doesn't extend to this evening at 7:30, we are going to have the HES committee meeting at 7:30, working on Senate Bill 227, Insurance for Alcoholism and Drug Dependence, HJR 29, Workfare Programs, and two bills that we were going to consider this afternoon, and we did not get to do that.
There are further announcements. Representative Parker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. CRA will meet at 8:30 tomorrow morning. I forgot to bring the list of bills over, but it'll be posted out on the blackboard.
Further announcements. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, if there's no further business come before the House, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's no objection. We're adjourned till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.